All right, Tulsa, I received a text message that somehow the shiur got up to the bottom of Lamed Dalid, Amud Aleph, three lines up from the bottom.
Yeah,
Amud Beis? No, okay. It's ridiculous. I don't know what's happening over here, but let's just keep in mind the pace that we go at, and let's not become over-ambitious. That's not true. Well, so we got a tremendous yeshkat to Rav Chaim last week for Wednesday and Thursday. Right, Wednesday and Thursday? Yeah, did Amud Yishan, Shkayach. So we're picking up tonight, Lamed Aleph, 34a, three lines up from the bottom. Tan Rabbanon. So Bo says, some really beautiful Gemaras tonight. Elu brachas sha'adam shoche bohen. So Bo says, these are the brachas that a person bows by them. So tonight now by Shmona Esrei, when a person bows by the brachas, which brachas do you bow by then? Ba avos tchila vasof. So by avos, again, the first bracha in Shmona Esrei. So by avos, you bow at the beginning of the bracha and the end of the bracha. The beginning of the bracha is the beginning of Shmona Esrei. The end of the bracha is the bracha of Magin Avraham. Ba hoda tchila vasof. By modim, beginning of modim, and then ultimately again, end of modim. Good. The imba lasuach basof lasuach basof kol bracha betchilas kol bracha melamdin also shelo yishcha. I would say a person says, you know what? I want to bow down at the beginning of every bracha, at the end of every bracha. So we teach him not to do so. And I would say, now what's interesting about this is as follows. Obviously, the entire concept of bowing in general, the entire concept is to engender a sense of humility within the individual. So you'll say to yourself, why not bow before and after every single bracha? So remember again, the simple answer to that is because sometimes things could look like excessive humility, in which case, again, sometimes excessive humility actually becomes a source of gaiva, a source of arrogance. So therefore, again, Chazal instituted that you bow at certain places. We'll discuss why that is. But Lamaisa, we don't overbow. 34a, last line. 34a, last line, I'm sorry. Lamedal, last line. Just for the record, I did not get us this far. It was Chaim Spiro. So if you have anyone to blame, you don't know what happened to all the Gemara. It's Reb Chaim. Zachisa. And that, and you drink Rashi light. But the Gemara says as follows. Son of Shimon Pazi, I'm Reb Shimon Levi. Mishum Bar Kafra. Hedyot, so the Gemara says, Kimosha Amarnu. So I'll say, so a hedyot, a regular person, bows in accordance with what we'll call the bowing schedule that we just saw. We'll say, Amud Beis, 34b. 34b. Kohen Gadol b'sof kol brachu bracha. Kohen Gadol actually bows at the end of each and every bracha. So the Gemara says, "V'hamelech tchila kol bracha tchilas kol bracha ubracha v'sof kol bracha ubracha." And ultimately, again, the king, the melech, he goes ahead and he bows at the beginning of every bracha and at the end of every bracha. Now, both say, "Now, what's going on over here?" So it's actually incredible. If you take a look at the top Rashi on 34b, Rashi says, "Rav Nadal lamed dalit amud beis." Rashi says, "Kohen Gadol b'sof kol bracha." Rabbi said, this is an incredible Gemara. The more of an elevated position or status you have, the more you must work on your humility. Right? Incredible. So therefore, again, a regular person bows at the designated places. Kohen Gadol goes ahead and bows at the end of every single bracha. Kohen Gadol, a more elevated status. The more elevated you are, the more you have to work on your humility. He bows more often. Melech, the highest, most elevated status within the Jewish people, he bows at the beginning of every bracha and at the end of every bracha. So this goes back to a pretty incredible idea that, if you think about it, we know this in life, like the more one accomplishes and the more one encounters success, so, you know, it's nice to think that success engenders a heightened sense of emunah, but sometimes, unfortunately, it has just the opposite approach, that sometimes the more successful I am, the more I could fall into the trap of kochi ba'otsem yadi, of thinking that, look what I've accomplished. So sometimes the more success, the more elevated stature or status you have, the more one has to work on their humility. It's such, you think to yourself, that Kohen Gadol has to work on his humility? Yeah, you know why? Because the Kohen Gadol is a human being also. The Melech has to work on his humility? Yeah, because the Melech has an ego also. So if you're a human being and you're alive, you have an ego. And if I have an ego, then I have to make sure that it doesn't become overinflated. Incredible. But I will say, but the reason why this is also important for us is because now we also understand the power of ultimately bowing. Just an insight. Why is it that Chazal instituted bowing? Bowing is to humble us before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you'll ask yourself, well, one second, if that's the case, doesn't it? So let me ask you, if you are making the model, what model would you create for bowing? What model would you create? Why shouldn't everyone just be like the Melech? Bow before every bracha, bow at the end of every bracha. Doesn't that make the most sense? Engender humility. So once you have to understand something, sometimes excessive humility could be detrimental as well. Right? That sometimes, again, there's a fine line between humility and a lack of sense of self. Right? Sometimes people think that being humble means negation of the self. A person is always supposed to have a healthy sense of self. A person is supposed to have a sense of confidence, a sense of accomplishment, a feeling of pride in who and what they are. But lamaisa, one can't translate that into arrogance. It could be, that perhaps Chazal felt that for stam a person, a regular person, bowing too much could actually have a detrimental effect. So again, regular people, I'm a regular person, so that we have our stated bowing positions. Kohen Gadol, a little bit more. Melech, every single bracha. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Ledidi Mefarshli Menei Rav Shulman Levi. Head Yod Kemo She'amarnu. Head Yod bows in accordance with what we said before. Kohen Gadol. Tchila is called bracha u'bracha. Listen to this. So Kohen Gadol, he bows. He bows with every bracha. So we'll say, so again, the beginning of every bracha. So far, no different than what we said before. Here's where the change comes. Hamelech, Kevan Shekara, Shuv Eino Zokev. This is incredible. The king, Once he bowed, he does not stand upright. So also what this means is incredible, that essentially the king recites the entirety of Shemona Esrei in a bowed position. In other words, he starts Shemona Esrei upright, but then once he bows the first time, he remains bowed for the duration of Shemona Esrei. Shene Emar, Bahik Yechalo Shemona Despalo, Come Malifnei Mizbeach Hashem, Michroa Al Birkav. Because the Pasuk is talking, now obviously Shlomo's not davening Shemona Esrei, but the Pasuk is talking about that when Shlomo Melech got up from davening from Hashem, he got up literally again from bowing on his knees. Now Shlomo Melech is literally bowing on his knees before the Mizbeach, so we're not bowing on our knees, but Lamaisa, a pretty incredible idea that the Melech, he bows and he remains in that bowed position. Incredible. So now the Gemara is going to talk about different types of bowing. Tanu Rabbanan, Kida Alapayim. So we'll say what we call kida. So it's interesting. So, you know, all of these words translate as bowing. Then you might well say, you know, one of the interesting things about like Lashon HaKodesh is every single word in Hebrew, right? Often you could have many Hebrew words that translate into the same English word, but in Hebrew, every single word has a distinct and unique meaning. So for example, kida is translated as bowing, but the Gemara says it means alapayim. Ultimately, again, that one is bending their head, right? Bending their face. Shene emar, vatikor basheva apayim aretz. Kriya al birkayim. Kriya is on your knees, bowing on your knees. Shene emar, michroa al birkav. Hishtachava. So again, remember, all of these things translate as bowing. But hishtachava, zu pishut edayim ragayim. The truth is, this we would translate as prostration, right? Literally, again, like laying down. Like laying down on the ground. Shene emar, havo navo ani ve'imcha ve'achicha l'shtach avos l'cha arza. Amar av chiyab reid rav huna, chazina l'hu l'abai v'rava, dematzlu a'atzlu yeh. So ultimately, again, so I'm sorry, Rav Chiya, reid rav huna said, I saw that Abai and Rava ultimately that matzli a'atzlu yeh. Rashi says, kishenofim al p'neyem, ein poshnim de'en ragleim, ala matan a'atzlu yeh. So remember again, this also leads into another discussion, which is, over the course of tefillah, we assume multiple different positions, right? We're sitting, we're standing, we're bowing, and then there's also a quasi-prostration. So the Gemara says over here, that Rav Chiya says, that I saw Abaye and Rava when they would go ahead and they would do tachnun. So interestingly enough, what would they do? They would not go ahead and literally prostrate themselves, but rather what they would do is, they would lean on each other. They lean on each other. So a different form of nefilah sapayim. They will lean on one another. Okay. Tanicha da'akreba oda harezi mishubach. So one Mishnah says that if you bow during modin, this is praiseworthy. B'tanya ida harezi maguna. Either Braisa says it's a terrible practice. Okay. It's a pretty dramatic machlokes. Lokasha habitchila halal basov. One is talking about going ahead and bowing at the beginning. Bowing at the beginning of modin is good. Bowing at the end of modin is not good. The Gemara says, Rava kara b'hoda tchila v'sof. But Rava bowed at the beginning and the end of modim. Amri Rabbanon, amai ka'avid marhachi. So Rabbi said to Rava, why are you doing this? Amar lehu, chazinu l'Rav Nachman dekara. V'chazinu l'Rav Sheshes teka'avid hachi. So Rava says, it's so beautiful. So Rava bowed at the beginning and the end of Modim. The rabbi said to him, why are you bowing at the end of Modim? We just learned before that you're not supposed to bow at the end of Modim. So Groh said to Rebbe, what did Rabbi say? Rabbi said, the truth is, I saw Rav Nachman bow at the end of Modim. I saw Rav Sheshes bow at the end of Modim. So Rabbi said, how beautiful is this? What is Rabbi answering? Rabbi's answering that at the end of the day, I did what I did because that's what I say. You know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says something so beautiful, and he, just very quickly, he says that, you know, we live in an age, and this he wrote already probably like two, three decades ago, but he writes, you know, we live in an age of such enhanced scholarship, incredible scholarship, right? Everybody, Baruch Hashem, there's incredible access to Torah. So he says, on one hand, it's beautiful because there's such a higher level of just Torah literacy. On the other hand, he says, there's something that's lost. He gives an example. He says, if you would ask a Jewish woman, right, that woman's getting married, and you ask her, why do you light Shabbos candles? So what is she going to answer? So today you ask a girl, so what is she going to say? She's going to, she went to school, Jewish school, Beis Yaakov, a Jewish day school, a seminary. She could rattle off all the different things that she does, one for Zachar, one for Shomer, Omek Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, all these different things. You ask, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, you ask a woman a generation ago, why do you light Shabbos candles? And what is she going to answer? My mother lit Shabbos candles. Rav Aaron called that, he called that the mimetic tradition. The mimetic tradition. There's this beauty in Yiddishkeit that if you ask me why I do something, it's what my mother did, it's what my father did, it's what's been done. But why? I don't need a why. I don't need a why. That's what we do. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, it's actually very beautiful. He says that on one hand, the enhanced scholarship is beautiful, but sometimes that loss of the mimetic tradition is something that. There's something beautiful to that. There's a simplicity in that. So I was just very taken by this, that here, Rav is bowing at the end of Modim. They say, Rav, why did you do that? He's like, I don't know, my Rebbe does it. You know, Rav Nachman does it. Rav Sheshes does it. But we learned that if you go out and you bow at the end of Modim, it's a terrible practice. To which the Gemara says, no, hahi bahoda sheba halel. That's not talking about modim in Shmona Esrei. That's talking about hodu modim in Hallel. What's modim in Hallel? Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo. You're not supposed to bow there. That's in the Brisa said. That's not a good practice. The Gemara says, one second. Va'atanya Bahoda Bahoda Ubahoda Shal Hallel Harezim Aguna. But you have another Brisa, and the Brisa says bowing during modim and during the hoda of Hallel is not a good practice. So the Brisa explicitly says that you're not supposed to bow during the end of Modim of Shmona Esrei. So what's going on over here? Tishmar says, no. Kitanya hi bahoda de Birkas Hamazon. No, that's talking about hoda Birkas Hamazon. It will say, what's hoda Birkas Hamazon? The bracha of no delicha. No delicha. So I will say, so bottom line, that comes out over here, and we know this halacha l'maaseh. So we bow at the beginning and at the end of Modim. That's what we do. That's what we do, right? Atov Shimcha Lachana Lahodos, that's the end of Modim. And ultimately, again, Modim Anachnu Lach, that's the beginning of Modim. So we bow at the beginning and at the end. But just appreciate how much Rava was basing his own personal practice based on what he perceived from his, what he saw from his Rebbein. All right, Rava said, incredible. Let's begin the Mishnah. Hamispalel, Vita Simon Vita. Rava says, a beautiful Gemara. If somebody's davening and he makes a mistake in his davening, you have to appreciate something over here. That remember, the Mishnah is talking about over here before the age of printed Siddurim. So when you were davening by heart. So the Gemara says, if when you're davening, you make a mistake in your davening, simin ra lo. That is a bad omen. Now, what does it mean it's a bad omen? It means that at the end of the day, it looks like your tefillos are not being accepted. That's what it means. Say, we're not going to do tonight, but if we have time tomorrow night, and when I say if we have time tomorrow night, you know, we never have time for anything. But we'll get this whole concept of omens in general is a fascinating thing in Yiddishkeit. Do we believe in omens? Do we not believe in omens? So again, we'll talk about that more in Meir Hashem tomorrow. So I'm a spalo b'tasim and ralo. So if a person is davening and he makes a mistake in his davening, it's a bad simon. Vim shliach tziburhu. And we'll say, what happens if I'm the chazan and I make a mistake in my davening? Simon ralo sholchav. Then I will say, it's a bad simon for me, the Shliach Tzibor, and it's a bad simon for the congregation. Why? Because at the end of the day, a person's agent is an extension of his self. Extension of himself. Amru Allah Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. It was an incredible Gemara. I said, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shayim Ispala Allah Cholim, Va'omer zechai b'zemes. Wow. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was someone who would daven for people who were ill. He was able to say, this one's going to live and this one's going to die. Amru lo minayin ata yodea. So I said, Rabbi, how do you know that? Amru lo, very simple. Im shkura tfilasa b'fi, yodea ani shehu mekubal. If the tefillah is organized, essentially, if it rolls off my tongue, right, if it's organized in my mouth, then I know that it's accepted. Ve'im lav, and if not, yodea ani shehu meturaf. Then I know, literally again, meturaf means it's torn up. So if it rolls off my tongue, then I know it's accepted. And if not, I know that it is not going to work. It was a really incredible, incredible Gemara. Says Gemara, I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it says the Gemara says, Ahiyah. So the Gemara says, you know what, actually, we'll stop over here for tonight. Emirat Hashem, we'll pick up Emirat with the rest of this Gemara tomorrow. But say, this, by the way, is an incredible sugya. I also just want to point out something very important, which is Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, we're going to talk about, he was incredibly unique, as Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa had incredible power of tefillah. So we'll have to see exactly when it comes to this, you know, how much of this is something unique by Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa versus how much of this is stam, a lesson for us to be gleaned. And Emirat Hashem will continue tomorrow. Shkoyach.